Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lot by Lori Wyman, starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. When the sailor returns home from the sea, there's nothing he looks forward to more than a spot of shore leave, particularly when he's returned home from the sea four times in the last 5 days. And also when the bit of sea he's returning from happens to be the roughest bit of the Irish Channel. And it doesn't help when the ship is HMS Cartridge and a signal informs them that the whole object of them being at sea was utterly pointless.
Read that signal again, Chief.
Certainly, sir. To commanding officer HMS Cowbridge, reference signal ordering daily search for ship observed to be in distress in Irish Channel last Friday. Cancel search and return to Portsmouth as ship now identified as HMS Cowbridge.
Now, isn't that odd? Sheer inefficiency, of course. That means that ever since last Friday, we've been searching for ourselves.
Exactly. And we all know the reason why. Don't we, Mr. Phillips?
No.
Look, Mr. Phillips, you will recall that when we were first returning home through the Irish Channel last Friday, you weren't feeling very well. And you hung your hat on the fog signal switch and caused it to keep blowing loud and clear.
Yeah?
International distress signal number one.
And in trying to find the foghorn switch, you pressed another one, which fired the parachute rocket and let off a red flare.
Yeah.
International distress signal number two.
You then panicked and shouted fire, which caused the gun crew to bang off loud ones for several minutes.
Yeah.
International distress signal number three.
Well, how was I to know anyone would notice?
Evidently, the Coast Guard did and reported us.
As a direct result, we have just spent 4 days on the Briony looking for a frigate in distress, which was your flaming hat all the time.
Well, I was only trying to stop that noise of the foghorn. I've got delicate ears.
Well, that's a pity, because I have a feeling they're going to get blistered by Captain Povey as soon as we dock.
Hello, we've dropped another one, I take it.
Harvey, for me to interrupt the conversation, Sybil, we're coming into the dock now.
Well, what about it? There's no need to interrupt the captain when he's all what?
Well, I'm what?
pull the head upwards. Left port up your starboard.
Left it, no, I'm...
Stick it in the third and shut your eyes.
Right.
No. Scrub that and think of a number.
Right.
It might help. Port your helm and scupper your bulwarks. In an easterly direction. No. Oh, I can't look.
Everybody down!
Finish with engines.
Whatever, probably.
Sorry about that, Commander Bell, sir. Commander Bell?
I'm down here in the engine room over there. Someone left a trap door open. I whizzed down it when we crashed. Barked my shins on the stairs, actually.
Oh, I wondered where you'd gone. You've fallen down the companionway, sir.
Have I really? You learn something new every day, don't you? Well, I don't, but other people do. I've heard what I meant. I think I've landed in the sump. I mean, I've heard of naval officers getting well oiled, but this is ridiculous.
Would you like to come up again and inspect the damage, sir?
No, thanks. I think I'll just sit down here and watch the worst of it seeping from his surge. Carry on,
number one. I can't.
Excuse me, sir, but the Admiral's flag lieutenant and another officer are on the docks, and they're waving immoderately, and I think they want a word.
Come on, Mr. Phillips, we'd better find out the worst.
After all, Flag Lieutenant, we are both junior officers, so when you report back to the Admiral, I'd be jolly grateful if you'd forget that slight bump when we docked.
The slight bump, old man? I didn't hear anything.
Oh, with due respect, sir, you must be the only person for 20 miles who didn't. I've still got crossy ears now.
Possibly, but I also happen to know the amount of paperwork involved after an accident at sea, and I also know who would be doing it. Take it from me, I didn't hear a thing. And I can assure you that Lieutenant Byrd here didn't notice anything untoward either.
Certainly not, old man. In any case, I'd be the last person to know the sound of a ship suffering from a sideswipe to its superstructure.
Pardon?
This is Lieutenant Byrd. He's just been attached from the dockyard and is acting as welfare officer.
Yes.
Now, as you know, Troutbridge is due to ship this weekend.
What? Well, we've had to put to sea every day this week.
Possibly, but that was emergency rescue duty. And now that we all know who started the emergency, I think the least said about that the better, don't you?
Well, it wasn't us. It was my hat.
Well, here's the worst of it, chap. Saturday afternoon is one of these annual charity dues.
Oh, lummy, what's the date? It isn't Steamship Day, is it?
Steamship Day?
Yes, the Society of Temporarily Embarrassed Ancient Mariners whose socks are held in pawn.
What?
Well, that's not quite what the letters stand for, but it is in aid of old sailors.
What is Steamship Day?
Well, usually the Admiral donates the grounds of his quarters to the fleet, and every year the captain of each flotilla takes it in turn to supply helpers from his duty ship to run the whole ghastly mess.
What do you mean by usually, sir?
Well, this year it's Captain Povey's turn to act as organizer of the fleet.
And? Well, that necessarily involves his spouse, Mrs. Povey's hostess, you see. And she's insisted, you see, that the fleet is to be sighted on their personal estate, you see.
Estate? You've only got a back garden.
Tell me. One marquee on the lawn and we'll all have to walk on the flower bed.
Oh, it's not quite as small as all that. But you'd better go across to Captain Povey's office and he'll give you all the details.
I see Captain Povey's keeping you busy.
Well, no, he isn't, actually. You are.
We are?
Yes, I'm typing out the report, trying to explain how you used up all that oil, frantically searching for your own ship.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
Wrenchesson.
Yes, Stephen. Dear.
Oh, hello. Same time, same place tonight.
Well, I said yes last week, didn't I?
Oh, well, really?
Yes, quartz. Any more and I'll be the embarrassed ancient mariner.
Yes, sir?
And where are our wandering boys now, then, Chasen?
They're here.
Wonderful, never see. Would you ask them to come into my office, please? That is, if they can find their way without alerting everybody in Trinity House.
Aye, aye, sir. The man from Uncle would like to see his agent.
I suppose you wouldn't like to tell Uncle that Thrush has got us, would you?
No, thank you. In you go.
Eh? Ah, there you are, gentlemen. You've heard good news, I take it?
I don't like it. I don't like it. He's being nice. There's a big one flying about somewhere. Oh, I don't like it. Mr. Murray, sir, compassionate leave, sir. My dear white-haired old mother is stuck in the doorway.
No, Chief. In any case, Chief, I'm sure you won't want to miss Steamship Day on Saturday.
Oh,
this year is going to be really something. As it's our turn to run Steamship Day this year, my dear wife Ramona is going to make it a day to remember.
Yes, we had a feeling it was going to be one nobody would forget.
Exactly. But this is a charity, and my dear wife Ramona and I have decided that the first novelty will be to hold the fete in our own grounds instead of the Admiral. Yes, that's the first gift.
Oh, yes. There are others.
Oh, certainly, certainly. We shall want some of you to run the various stalls, of course.
Sir, in that case, would you mind awfully not putting me down for the hoopla? I'm a bit inclined to la when I should have hooped.
Mm-hmm. Well, do be frank, Mr. Phillips. Unless there is an emergency, we are rather hoping we shan't have to put you down to run any of the stalls.
Oh, how jolly kind.
Have another think about that sentence, and I think you'll find it wasn't a compliment.
Then there are the various raffles, of course, and which will include one major fight. And the day will be rounded off with a magnificent fireworks display in the vegetable garden.
Begging your pardon, sir.
Hmm?
But
Do I understand that you haven't actually ordered the fireworks yet?
Oh, well, no, Pertwee. Why?
A certain relative of mine is in the trade.
In the trade? Yes. You mean he could supply the fireworks cheaply? Mr. Phillips, remind me to leave early.
I shan't be able to, sir. I'll have gone already.
No barricade, please. Yes, Captain Pavitt. We can let you have them at cost, and I'll even arrange for a set piece, and I personally, volunteer to take charge of the letting of them off.
Good gracious. You're feeling all right, Chief? Well, the only thing I can remember you volunteering for in the past is extra leave.
Well, as you said yourself, sir, it's all in a good cause. I mean, if we serving Mucklows can't lend a willing hand to those who served before and fought a mighty deep and the wondrous oceans of the world, and one can only say that never in the field of human conflict yet.
All right, I'll leave the arrangement for the fireworks to you.
Yeah, pleasure.
And you will be sure to let me have the bill afterwards, won't you?
I'll do even better than that, sir. I'll let you have it before.
He's going to make a blooming fortune.
We should have guessed. Captain Proby, sir,
you said that holding the fate in your back your estate was gimmick number one. What are the others?
Well, the most important is that we have managed to persuade the patron of Steamship Day to come to our backyard, to our estate, and to declare the fate open personally.
I say, what a bit of luck. Who is the patron?
Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown.
Oh.
Well, see what my place on Saturday, gentlemen. Grand opening at 3 o'clock. See you then.
Me.
How do I? He now intends to say a few words before he declares his gate open. And heaven help any of you I see sloping off into Mr. Zebo whilst he's chatting.
Gazebo? That's the bicycle shape at the end of the garden.
All right, sir. Wouldn't they talk? Off you go, and let's have bad defense and all that.
Your grace, members of the jury, brothers of the Needlework Guild. It is with some pleasure that I...
Oh, wait a minute. No, that can't be right. This is a Navy do, isn't it?
A fate in aid of steamship day, actually, sir.
And good luck to all who sail in her. Oh, right, I've got it now. Admirals and ladies of the press. It is with some trepidation that I... It is with some trepidation that I stand fearlessly before you, economically certain that the balance of our great cause can never grow dim. We must preserve the green belt round our city, from which the cornerstone will never be ground underfoot. And in presenting this check in the face of the enemy, I move that this house will record a lap of unprecedented speed. Were it not for our long tradition in the outpatient department, this new motorway would be pointless. And heavily laden vessels would jam our runways with a successful show and a cast of thousands. Now, my friend, what has this to do with the cost of whalebone courses, you ask? Well, a sit-down strike will most certainly lead to a broader outlook on all sides.
I beg your pardon, sir?
A good question. And when history looks back, we will go forward, rejoicing in the knowledge. After all, it's not how you play the game, but keep your powder dry and stand by your bed. When all but he had fled.
Well, that's it. I've finished. No, sir. You haven't declared it open.
Open? My word, so they are. Fit well after time. Goodbye, Anna.
Right, start sending. And I want clearly understood that I made cakes for the guests the way to take confidence. and I shall have something to say to anyone who writes two tongues on his ticket. Carry on, Henry. Start the sports places round Mehabesu border.
Yes, very well, my love. Now, come along, gentlemen. This way for the egg and spoon race. It's all in the good.
I do wish he'd stop saying that.
I think it's a phrase he picked up from the padre.
Oh, hello, you chap. Looking for me? Lovely, do.
Good afternoon, padre.
Aren't they all? Lovely to see you here.
Actually, one could have wished for it to be a tuck warmer, as I came slightly unprepared for a nip. In the air. As a direct result of the slight chill, I've already had to purchase back for a shilling the cardigan I donated to the old clothes store.
Well, with due respect, Padre, if it's the one you're wearing, you were done.
Well, must be off. I thought I'd try my hand at the coconut try.
Well, don't throw too hard, Padre. You might break it.
There's no danger of that, old chap. As they've only got one coconut, we're using a tennis ball. And it behoves all of us to have a bit of a go at the roll, bowl, or pitch. Roll, bowl, or pitch.
Yes, hang on there, Padre. I'll come with you. With all my knowledge of navigation, I'll be able to help you aim straight.
If Mr. Phillips is going to help you, Padre, tell the small boy 4 gardens away to duck and keep his head down.
Hello, Stephen. Would you care to buy one?
Oh, hello, Heather. Come off duty for a bit. Let's have a walk into the gazebo and pretend it's the tunnel of love.
No, thank you. If I know you, you'll stop pretending halfway through.
Oh, come on. You can bring those terrible jars of homemade fish paste with you for protection.
They wouldn't be much help.
Well, they would, you know. Flip the lid off one of those and you could clear the Albert Hall in 5 seconds flat.
Hello, you chap. Oh, I'm sorry. Glasses. Are you having a good time, are you?
No, don't come too close.
I'm still dripping. I'm better upwind anyway.
Now, it all started with this coconut shy, you see. If there's one man in the whole of Portsmouth who could break a coconut with a tennis ball, guess who it is? Now, don't bother. You know, don't you? Yeah.
So quick, you see. So quick. Take a whiz, transport, clear.
My word, what a mess. I've never seen a coconut so full. And it was the only one they got, of course, so that shut that stall down.
Well, it was hardly your fault, sir.
Ah, that phrase is the story of my life, of course. I ask for it, you see. Well, I don't have to ask for it. I get it anyhow. The trouble is, I don't see it coming. I mean, if I did, I'd never have gone in for the egg and spoon race, would I?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. My word, I didn't ask, Joe. First off the starting line, leading all down the straight, then the egg flew off a spoon right in my face. Trust me to get the only one with a thin shell and the runny yolk. My word, what a mess. Before I could stop, I'd crashed clean through the privet hedge, landed in the compost heap. And I'll tell you something. I don't know what's in their compost heap. But it's not all grass cuttings. Mind you, falling into the goldfish pond washed most of it off, but I don't think it did the goldfish much good. There's only one left, and he's hiding under a lily leaf. Well, I must be off. I think I'm off already, as a matter of fact. No, I mean, it's all in a good cause. If the sun comes out while I'm still here, everyone else would want to go, wouldn't they? Thank heavens I came on my bike. They'd never let me on a bus. Well, I'll try and get back to the fireworks. I'll be the 4th whiz-bang on the right. That's unless you're having a guy.
Right, heads up, all round here, gentlemen. On earth of all, the result of the guest's wedge with the little Ramona Cook kick competition.
I've won. I'll run away and leave it.
The lucky winner is Lieutenant Burr. I can hardly congratulate him on his accuracy as he won because he was the only competitor who did not put away his 2 tons on his feet. So, for his guess, the 1500 weight. I now declare the cake well and fully his.
Lucky old whistle, bud.
Here,
You'd have to borrow a low-loaded truck to get it home.
Even that'll probably break an axle.
I shan't warn that group over that again. Quiet, everybody. Lieutenant Bird wants to say a word.
Do I? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Mrs. Purvey and all those assembled, it gives me great pleasure to accept the simplest scrumptious cake. But since it seems slightly supersized for a single officer, I should like to express my sincere thanks and send it straight to the officers and men who made this fete such a splendid success. The Ships Company of HMS Troutbridge.
Piper! One bird in the cave and throw away the key!
And now we come to the lucky program, sir. The winning program is number 13.
Ooh, ooh, that's me. I've got program number 13. I'm afraid.
I keep quiet about it if I were you, sir.
Oh, no, he doesn't. We've got to munch our way through that flaming cake. He's going to suffer as well. Which is probably, imagine, Lieutenant Murray's got program 13.
Yeah, no, who's a traitor?
Oh, I was hoping the prize was going to a good home, but it can't be helped. If you'd like to come round to the back of the marquee afterwards, we can collect your prize. 6 jars of delicious Ramona-prepared homemade dishes.
Oh, no. What am I going to do with that lot? I already had to buy 12 jars to get Heather to go into the tunnel of... into the gazebo.
You filthy swine.
Don't worry, Mr. Phillips, sir. If you spread it thick on half under white slabs of a dodgy seed cake, it should go down a treat.
I don't think I feel very well.
Quiet, please. Now we come to the grand draw for the major prize in our raffle. Henry.
Blimey, who wants to win it?
Henry.
Yes, my love.
Permission granted to draw the winning tickets out of the drum.
Drum? For what?
The bowler hat I insisted you bought for Mr. Newcombe's wedding.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I mean, yes, of course.
My love, yes.
You're right. Now, absolute hush everywhere. Henry is about to dive into his hat.
6 to 4, he bangs his head in the shallow end.
Henry, select the ticket and announce the winner.
Very well, my love. The winning number is 7 and 5/8.
Henry Purvey, that's not a bit of fun. That is a size tag off the hat band.
Ah, you pigeon!
I'll see you in the morning, by the way. The winning ticket is number 23.
23?
Lummy. That's me. I say, I've won. I wonder what the major prize is. Perhaps it's a television or a sports car or...
Hearty congratulations to the winner. The surprise major prize is... I heard your breath, everybody. Major prize is... a cocoa and biscuit evening with my dear husband and myself.
I come back next week.
Lucky old you, Mr. Phillips.
Here, I wonder if it'll be homemade cocoa as well.
I demand a recount.
Silence! Well, that is the end of the draw. And I must say, I couldn't have wished for a better cake. And now, for the grand father, today, which will be set off by our patron, Miss Wibbly Todd. The Duchess.
Well, I'll be off then.
Yeah, just a minute, Pertwee. I thought you were going to set the fireworks off.
Oh, yes. Well, great disappointment, of course, sir. But I felt it would be better if the patron of Steamship Day blew off his eyebrow. I mean, conducted the ceremony. See you back at the ship, gents.
Oh, no, you don't.
Stay where you are. Not safe.
Match coming up, sir. All ready to strike, sir.
Right. Here we go for the set piece.
Everybody down!
Miles.
Look out, here comes the big one.
my poor ears. I've never known such loud fireworks.
Well, I have, and I know where they've come from. Pertwee!
He just left, sir.
No wonder you volunteered to supply them. They're all naval distress rockets and flares from our store.
Yes, well...
Pertwee, you feel like what you've done.
Yes, sir, but isn't it lovely? Yes, it's the set piece, sir. It says good night.
It says that's all right for your career. All the flares and rockets have been played out to sea. They'll be launching every lifeboat between here and Hong Kong. Ah! Where did that one go?
Right left through Mrs. Povey's gazebo, sir. Here, I know. Let's have another raffle for 12 jars of red-hot homemade fish paste, sir.
Come along, gents. It's all in a good call. Give generously.
We're collecting the Pertwee's defense fund, and there are at least 14 charges to be paid for.
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray have been charitably taking part in the Navy Dance, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, the Padre was Michael Bates, Lieutenant Bird was Ronnie Barker, and the Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown, which I got right, was played by Tony Levin. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.
And there'll be another edition of the Navy Lark at the same time next Sunday.